done.
Well, welcome, councillors and ladies and gentlemen and staff officers. It's great to see everybody. A nice cold, still winter, isn't it? Day. All right, well, this is the agenda now we've got before us for the ordinary council meeting today, 24th of September 2025, commencing at 10 a.m. at the Oaklands Municipal Offices. And I have to advise everybody, that we're being recorded. And that all persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. We've got prayers this morning and Reverend Karen Wolford. Thanks, Karen.
As we're able, let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love. In your love we pray for those in conflict who find themselves in war, in pain and in grief. We remember those of whom we loved and have since passed on. We especially remember and give thanks to the life of Daryl Murray from Campbelltown and also here in Oatlands. We give you thanks for Leonard Byers and his 60 years plus at the Tunnock Fire Station. And we also give you thanks for the life of Barry Easton, farmer from Rinduston. May those who mourn be comforted by the stories and the memories they hold. We pray especially for the many people stifled by oppressive regimes, that they will hold fast to their hope for a new order of freedom and respect for human rights. We pray for our leaders that they will lead well, hear the needs of the people and the courage to act. We pray for our own young people trying to find their pathway in life, that they will be given the support that they need and be blessed with opportunities. We pray for our elderly and those who are vulnerable. May they be protected from all forms of abuse and find solace in new relationships and friendships. And we pray for our local councillors and council staff that they will serve their communities with energy, integrity and wisdom. And for this land, may it produce well with harvest in abundance. May all those who work and volunteer in this region be blessed for the service that they give. And if you are willing, we pray the prayer our Lord and Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Karen. Thank you. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to the land, water and to community, and we pay respects to the elders, past and present. Our attendance today is minus Councillor Fraser Miller, and that is an apology. We had legal absence granted. Otherwise, we're all in attendance. The minutes of the ordinary council meeting that was held 27 of August, I seek to be confirmed. Is there a mover for that?
Yeah,
yes, thank you, Councillor Bisdie. Seconded, Councillor Fish. Any issues there? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The ayes have it. Special minutes. Sorry, committee of our council minutes, and they are from Chauncey Vale Wildlife Sanctuary Management Committee and Facilities and Recreation Committee. Do I have a mover that they be received? Thank you, Councillor Campbell. And the seconder, Councillor Blackburn. Any issues? put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Those minutes are received. Now, the recommendations contained within these minutes are to be endorsed. And do I have a mover for that?
I'll move.
Thank you, Deputy. And second, Blackwell, I think. We'll do it that way. Any issues with those? No, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Joint authorities, receipt of minutes. TAS Waste South.
Move.
Thank you, Councillor Christie.
I'll second.
And seconded the Deputy. I just had a short issue there with those minutes. I don't know whether or not they send you the attachments, because the minutes are very short. They don't waste any paper down there at TAS Waste. but they do say that the attachment is on the minutes, and there were two really important ones. I thought the whole infrastructure outline for the development of the local government of the Tas Waste South infrastructure projects, and the container refund scheme.
Mm.
Oh, the introduction to that and how it's going. Did they send you?
They forwarded it to me, and that was all we had. But
no, the actual. I haven't seen the attachments because I actually attended that forum. So it was
Dave wasn't there.
No, I attended that one in Dave's absence. But that I haven't actually seen the PowerPoint presentations come through separately. But we can certainly.
Well, the council would be interested to see how the scheme's going.
It's a very complex arrangement. Mm. Is all I'll say in relation to the refund scheme.
Yeah.
There is a pile of administrative work that goes into managing the scheme. We did get our first dividend. So, the other day, I think it was about $2,000 for the two-month period. So, for the containers that go through our curbside recycling as opposed to being put into the deposit, the specialty deposit. Once it gets down to the sorting facility, we get a percentage of the monies that go via the curbside recycling. I think our percentage, which is 0.15% of the southern region, was $2,000 for the 2 months.
That's on the basis of
having said that, it probably took $20,000 in administrative time to determine that amount. But anyway,
it's an employment initiative.
It is very much an employment initiative. So they have to do regular audits on the makeup of the products.
So I can ask
for a copy of the PowerPoint presentation to be sent through, but nothing to enlighten you.
Thank you. All right. Yes, thanks very much for that. We've got a mover and a seconder. I'll put the motion of those minutes as they are. Be received. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Aye. Aye. Thanks very much. Thanks for that. Okay. Notification of council workshops. The notification is there of our workshop. And that information is received. Thank you very much, Councillor Biskey. Seconded?
I'll second.
Thanks, Councillor Blackwell. Comments, issues? Very good. I'll put that the information be received. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Aye. Aye. Have it. Councillor, question time. No questions on notice, I don't think. But we now have the opportunity for questions without notice. Deputy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've had several representations in regards to the horses out at Karratta. I'd like to ask Grant what's going on. Have we been out, looked at them?
Sure.
Thank you.
So we can provide specifics in relation to what's happened in the last 24 hours. Can I give some detail around contact with ORI?
I think so, yeah.
So thank you, Deputy. Council has in the last week received a number of complaints in relation to the number of horses on the property, the issue being the stocking numbers. Rachel Collison and myself did a site visit with the owner of a thoroughbred back on Friday the 11th of April, and At that meeting, we were, numbers of detail were in 50 to 60 horses on that property. It's a 5.3 hectare property. We know at the moment the number of horses are probably well exceed excess of that number. On the back of the complaints, we have been trying to get some comms with the Office of Racing Integrity. Yesterday, Rachel Collis spoke with Alex Bond from ORI and in relation to this very matter. They were able to detail that there's a multi-agency approach being taken at the moment to look at the number of this issue across the land holdings, Anthill Ponds and the Parada. They've done some site visits this week, I believe, and working to reduce those numbers of horses on the property and ensure positive animal welfare outcomes. Know the time frame at this stage for when that's going to happen as far as production numbers, but we know for a fact that this has been ongoing. Council's being petitioned to do what they can as far as the nuisance. We've been satisfied until that now there's no nuisance as far as odour and vermin. That may not be the case anymore with the numbers on that property. So we've had frustration with Taz Racing and ORI because they've had a lack of resources to actually deal with this until that now. We've taken media coverage, social media posts, and I believe ABC Hobart also doing a coverage of the issue as well. So it's not going to go away anytime soon. We hope this will be the starting point for a resolution on the matter.
Thank you.
Yeah, can I just follow up on that?
Yeah.
As I understand it, and I'm happy to be corrected, but Taz Racing would have to be conflicted in all of this because they have, as I understand it, so I'm willing to be corrected, but they have funded this stuff themselves. They've put large amounts of money.
So is there a relationship between ORI and Taz Racing? I imagine ORI is the regulating authority.
Oh yeah, they're separate. That's their one. That's the independent, that's the Office of Racing Technology. Yeah. So one hand doesn't know what the other's doing. That's basically the way it's set up. But as far as the organisation and support of this as I understand it, Taz Racing has put funds into it.
Okay, I wouldn't know that, but I do know that Ice Screws has NRE actively following through with the investigation in relation to this problem and this stuff. So, certainly it's topical, and with that number of questions raised to council this whole calendar year, and certainly. Which I've said to council fish previously, it's not a matter for council. I guess we've been dragged in the moment, so but we've been reliant on NRE and ORI to relieve the charge. So
thank you. Yeah, thank you, Grant. Just another question, Mr. Mayor. Not probably seems silly, but I've had several farmers talk to me as well. We're going through a bit of a drought at the moment, as you know. No rain and constant wind that we've been receiving this last couple of weeks. How do we have to go about maybe getting it looked at? Or we just hopefully fingers crossed that next month is a better one and we get some rain? Or
we could do a policy on this. To see if we can't get some rain as a council policy. I can't think of any other solution from a council's perspective. I don't know whether or not you're foreshadowing a move to some kind of rating relief.
No, not necessarily that. The government, I suppose, look at our area and say, look, we're... These guys are in drought. You know, you go up north and there's just water laying everywhere, and you get to Tunbridge and it just doesn't rain. Well, we get a little bit of rain and the wind comes and takes it. Whether we can have our new minister consider something, I don't know. Anyhow, it's just.
Mr. Mayor, I think the first thing is to have it declared a drought area.
And I think to do that, there is a criteria.
There's a method you've got to go through.
Yeah, I've forgotten what the criteria is, but it's got to be low rainfall for 2 years or something, which we'd probably qualify for.
Mm.
And there's a number of other things. I can't remember unless Tim can. Some years ago, a drought declared.
It's a massive exercise to try and go through drought declaration, particularly for a specific area. Certainly if it's looked on a broader scale, but I'd be very confident there's nowhere near meeting our criteria.
No, okay. Well, let's just type it right.
It's very, the criteria from memory is very confined and very limited. You've got to jump through a lot of hoops.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Did you have any other matters?
No, that's it. Thank you. Thanks. That's me.
Yes, just one. I noticed, unfortunately, that in the middle of Kempton on the western side, the continued build-up of cars in a backyard. They're basically out of sight, and I don't believe they've been wrecked. Some might have been. But it's getting, I think I counted 46 there the other day, and I think probably it's grown considerably. And I just wonder if we are keeping an eye on it, because it's getting to be unsightly. And it continues to be building. I just wonder where the limit is.
I can provide it through Mr. Mayor. Council, I know the subject property is on the lower side of the
western side of the road.
It does have the benefit of screening and being below the road level, but Council did approve a large shed on the property last year for domestic purposes, and the assumption is that it's going to be used for storage, undercover storage of those motor vehicles, some of those motor vehicles. The issue we have is, is it a collection or is it a business?
It's not a scrap, in our opinion.
Certainly, the building, once it's been established, will provide some undercover protection and reduce the numbers that are visible from the road boundary. But I'm aware of the issue. It's pretty hard to manage these spaces because it's pretty difficult to tell people how to live. But certainly, we're not satisfied that it's a business as far as a wrecking yard. It's just a personal collection of cars, and there's no limit on what you can actually accumulate. We've got a number within the LGA. The issues we have would be around vermin, primarily for an EH issue, or whether it was actually a planning component. So, we certainly hope to see some change for action with that new building going on.
Thank you. Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Just in regards to the business side of things, surely there must be some, even though it's not being turned over immediately, there must be some long term plan for using the cars in sort of business sense.
We haven't had a conversation with this landowner.
I mean, it's like saying, we're not going to be drinking whiskey today, but you've got to store it forever. Well, it's a business. You're doing it. I appreciate what Councillor Beast has raised, and I know many of the residents are concerned about what's going on there for all sorts of reasons.
Council, we will have another approach to the landowner and outline our concerns. As I said before, we've got a number. We have previously addressed these under a nuisance component through income, where they have accumulation. But certainly, this not alone, there's a number of other properties within the LGA that are not similar to what we have here, increased numbers actually. So,
I'll add a comment on that. The number of the cars in the 70s and the 80s, the value has gone through the roof. And a lot of people are collecting those and now restoring, and are also hunting for parts.
Well, that's where they start looking at it.
I looked at a procedure that I had from 82, now $23,000.
Thanks, Councillor.
Thank you.
Did you have anything you want to add, Councillor? Questions?
Yeah. It's more Kim. Where are we at with Woodsdale Rec Grant?
So they have a sale of real estate, sale, called contract of sale, and I've asked them to return it when they sign it, and as part of that they nominate whoever their legal representative is that'll be managing the conveyance, and it's in their court. So they've had that for a week and a half.
And another question which might go towards Tim. When it comes to recycling containers, you go to the inverted commas kit and you see a skip there full of containers. Is council paying for that skip to be removed, or do we get paid for the contents?
Both. So we pay to have it transported, and then we get the return from the recycling product. Yeah. But generally, well, it costs more to transport than what you get in return for the product. So, does that make sense? Both.
That's my one.
Okay, I was going to ask you, I noticed that there's a bus stop sign down there opposite the Kentish, or outside the Kentish. Opens. Were we going to get one in Kempton somewhere so that people know where to stand or where the bus stops?
That was the one in Oaklands, was part of a project that we got for project bus stop upgrades.
Only a pole with a sign on it.
Yeah.
It's actually the council chamber, so.
Well, there's a seat opposite.
Outside the council chambers.
Yeah, well, is it the council chambers or is it the police station? Anyway, I don't know where it is.
It's in that location.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think what a sign would look like.
It's like the one outside the
council. Oh, no, what it would actually look like in terms of if somebody's taking a picture of the council chambers, which they frequently do.
I thought that it would be further down. I thought it would be near the police station.
What happened, the Department of State Grove engaged a survey firm to go right through the middle of the highway to design appropriate spaces for bus stops where there were no bus stops. So I might ask Department of State Grove what their design was and their location for Kempton. So I'm happy to fire that up.
We put a seat opposite the Doc's house there.
Yeah.
Which is on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
For people to sit. But yeah, I think we should have.
Depends on whether the pole, obviously the bus is northbound or southbound, but
yeah.
It's easier to put a bus stop sign on the eastern side of the road. Putting it on the western or outside the council chambers.
I wouldn't put it outside the council chambers.
That's the designated stop.
Well, let's designate it with a new pole on designated 50 yards down the road, put it outside that police house. Why can't it stop there?
Because the verge is, there's a lot, I don't know. Well, providing it's far, no, there wouldn't be room for a coach to pull up there.
All right.
I'll follow it up, Mr. Wilson, and come back to you.
Might have a certain sight distance from the intersection, so we want to ride as far as safety and egress from the police.
So I'm just trying to pick between the driveway to the police station and the culvert, that's at the start of the hall. You wouldn't get a coach in there, so you're back on the southern side of the entrance to the police station, which is outside the council chambers. Put a bus stop sign there in the corner.
Sounds all to the operation.
I'll check out.
But I think if anybody, because the bus only comes through if there's a booking.
Yeah.
And they're told where to go. So you have to make a booking for the bus to come through the town.
That's right.
And then they're told where to collect or get on the bus.
Well, so the bus could go down to Louisa Street, which could be up for good.
No, well, they nominate the council chambers as the bus.
Pick up point. That's right.
So the reason saying does it need signposting, because the person that's catching the bus has been informed, is my understanding. so it's probably just a redundant sign anyway. AB's volunteered to follow up.
Milton Mowbray's got a bus stop.
I wouldn't put a sign up, it's just what it looked like outside the council.
They've got a designated pole. Pretty advanced and
vivid out there. It's amazing the amount of people who do take a photo.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, no.
And to have a bus stop.
Sitting in the middle of the
bridge. Oh, that's enough of that.
It's not, hey, I'm not normally the one going on about heritage. just walked in. Yeah, he's normally near.
That's the questions without notice. Declarations of pecuniary interest. Councillors are requested to advise any pecuniary interest they may have. In respect to anything on the agenda, is there anything?
Well, you've all got an interest later.
Yeah.
Pay rise. No, it's not applicable, Mr. Mayor.
Any supplementary items to the agenda? Neil?
No.
We'll commence public question time early, will we? Or we keep on going? Keep on going? With somebody? All right. Council acting as a planning authority, pursuant to the Land Use and Planning Approvals Act. Well, there aren't any development applications, but we do have an other, do we, in relation to the caravan policy. Do I have a mover that that be laid on the table until October?
Second.
Thank you. Moved the deputy and seconded the councillor Bishop. Who is the environmental health officer?
We resource share with Launky City Council.
With who?
Launky City Council.
So someone from the Launky City Council is going to come up and see whether the council's got, whether the caravan's got water or whatever.
The application form in the first instance would detail what their waste and water provisions are. So we have an application form.
Yeah.
This is quite prescriptive. We have a policy which sits alongside that. So the application form would detail, you know, where it's in a site relation to the boundaries,
existing
buildings,
yep.
Provision of waste, water, etc.
But that has to be, have a look at it anyway, it has to be the satisfaction of the environmental health officer, who's and not going to be around on the floor.
The issue with long-term habitation is around waste,
yeah.
That's their expertise.
Got any expertise about that. Like, I just wonder how you're going to deal with that. I mean, practically, if you have someone there that you want to object to or you are worried about, and why can't we just have a plumbing inspector or someone?
If it's within a service district, keep in mind these caravans are there whilst the property is being built on. So if it's within a service district, you could generally connect, do a temporary connection with water and sewerage.
Yeah.
And that would be generally done by the Plumbing Authority in consultation with Tazewater Water, which is Crousey. However, if it's a wastewater treatment system, that person needs to be an environmental health officer that's qualified in that space. It's outside the role of the plumbing permit authority.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the issue is around, we don't only have enforceability under MCAP. So if the established environmental nuisance has been established or created through the occupation of the caravan, that's an EHO function. So that's where we need all the EHOs to undertake those assessments for the nuisance.
You won't hear any more from me in October 25, maybe?
I certainly just want to add one thing. I think put together with the input from the building and planning permit and the EHO, as well as community development. So it's been a collaborative internal debate. It's really for council to be comfortable with what's proposed. So please do take the time to make some comments. Councillor Campbell's made some comments to me now already. so, which I appreciate. So please do take time to be
here. Okay. Thanks very much. I've got a mover and a seconder. I'll put the motion unless there's any other discussion. No? Those in favour?
Aye.
Okay. I'm all right. I'll record that. Councillor, that's normal. If you think, but, but it's only, when you say that, Councillor Campbell, it's only, at this stage we're not voting on the policy. We're only voting on the fact that it's got to lie over for 12.
I'm aware of that.
To that. Okay.
And I'll still be against.
Yeah, no, you don't have to supply any reasons as to why you're against. We'll do our best to fathom those. Where are we up to? 10 past 10, Yona, I think. Yeah, we'd better go back. So now it is public question time. And we welcome members of the public to our council meeting and see whether or not any of them have questions. Yes, hello.
Yes, thank you very much. I have a number of questions. The first one, and most important one, was with regard to the horses at Parata, and I've been asked by the community to ask this question. Even though it's been mentioned already, I'll ask it because it's slightly different. Is there anything council can do to address the appalling situation of the well over 100 horses being run in the centre of Parata, as residents now have serious concerns about their health from the smell, and that's human health, from the smell, the dust, hay and manure blowing into water tanks. And the reason they ask if council can help here is because everybody is aware that you need a licence to have more than 3 dogs. And yet there are 100 horses plus within a town boundary, and there doesn't seem to be anything that council can do or has done previous to what Grant has just mentioned now.
Through Mr. Mayor, I think the issue now would rest with our EHO to determine if their use is established. The issue
could
would
you just explain the enacting what those letters mean, because
Environmental Health Officer.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't understand that.
So under MCAT, if we are...
And then again, when you're dealing with the public, it's a good idea. The
Environmental Management and Pollution Control Act, MCAT is the acronym, the abbreviation. We need to determine whether we have a environmental nuisance that's been established.
Yeah.
And when you mention atmospheric emissions, odour and dust, quite clearly that may constitute a nuisance. So yes. I dare say that would be.
Yeah.
We've had 3 complaints in the last week from residents within the vicinity. Certainly to date we've been satisfied there's been no concern around, but certainly things are escalating at the moment. I was on site this morning, had a look, and yeah, it's alarming as a visual. Certainly, you mentioned kennel licensing. We don't seek approvals from farmers for the conduct of a farming activity.
Even if that farming activity, sorry to interrupt, is conducted within a town boundary, so-called farming activity.
There's a use class which captures breeding, boarding and training of animals, which relates more to kennel licensing per se, but we haven't taken a DA, in my knowledge, for a resource development by farming activity. This is breeding, no question. It's breeding involved. But certainly, councils rely very much so on, as I mentioned earlier, ORI to regulate this. Their license is attached to them, I would imagine, through ORI to regulate the activity. And certainly, as far as the nuisance, that's one for council to manage, 100%. So, EHO was on site yesterday. They can attend sites at our request. They've been on site previously. I've been pretty comfortable with what they've seen as far as nuisance and animal welfare. Previously, not currently. Certainly, I'll bring that to attention as a matter of priority.
thank you. The community will be really pleased to hear this because I understand that several people have actually left town.
Yeah.
And that looks not good for council.
It may involve the issue of an EPN, an environmental protection notice, which is literally an infringement and requires certain things to be undertaken. But again, I received a list yesterday, Office of Resident Integrity, that the issue they have is the stocking numbers.
Yes.
Clearly that's the issue.
Yeah.
They're looking to reduce that as quick as they can, but no time frame was given, unfortunately, for that to occur. So,
I have contacted both TAS Racing because we understand this is being funded by TAS Racing grants, and I've also contacted the Office of Racing Integrity. TAS Racing refused to answer any questions, and the Racing Integrity Office did not respond, even though I've sent several messages to them.
Sure.
So,
is there any consolation? We only had contact with them yesterday, and we've been struggling in our own rights to achieve contact. They've got a lack of resources, as I've said previously.
Yeah.
But this is now just a breaking point. Okay.
And you're right, I think, in saying that it's going to be difficult to improve the situation because Racing Australia has fairly strict, very strict rules about how you can deal with abundant racehorses. No longer can you put them within the greyhound racing industry, which is where most of those sort of racehorses went. You're not able to do that anymore. So the mares have to be kept pretty much in whatever level of luxury is necessary for their life. And I think, you know, from a practical point of view, where the offspring of these mares are going to go is something of real consideration. Because well-bred young racehorses are very difficult to hone. You know, there's not a lot of money in breeding racehorses. And then, obviously people have got to spend a lot of money in racing them and getting them ready for racing. And that's a very big investment. And if a horse isn't very well bred, and I'm not saying these people aren't breeding well bred horses, but to compete you really need top bloodlines, and I think it's probably fair to say these aren't top bloodlines. So you're going to get quite a mass of horses that are going to have difficulty finding homes because ultimately they probably aren't going to be competitive in the racing world. So,
and that was actually raised with me as another concern. If the stud is closed down for one reason or another, or many reasons, what will happen to all these horses? Where will they go? Will they be euthanized?
Well, I don't know. It's very, it'll break all the rules. The racing industry is set up. And I think that's why there are a lot of people who are expressing concern about that, those types of operations perhaps being supported by the racing industry. There's not a lot of forethought in them. I mean, there are some very wonderful breeders of racehorses in Tasmania, make no mistake about that. It's a very respected industry that I know a fair bit about. But I don't think this is adding to that high level of respect that is nationwide accepted in Tasmania's breeding industry.
Thank you. I have several others, if that's okay, if you indulge me. Just a very quick update on the hotel proposal.
Just trying to think where we got to last time.
Still talking,
yeah, maintaining communication. Did suggest to them after the last meeting, I think, and a possible alternative that they may wish to pursue or have a look at, which they've taken on board.
As in alternative site or structure?
Investors.
Because yeah. I know the mayor asked whether there was an opportunity to bring in potential others.
Yeah, so that's something that they are looking at, but yeah, no further response at this point.
Okay.
I hope communicated in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Okay. And the fuel stop?
So that's going through the DA process, Grant can comment.
Yeah, through Mr. Mayor, Julia, we can advise that we have received the application. We have it under RFI, so request for further information under the Act. We can go back and request more information. We've done so in relation to a number of aspects, including the overland flow path, flooding across the property, also in relation to the access interface with the Midlands Highway. So that's back with the applicant. Time frame for the assessment is in abeyance until they provide it to our satisfaction. Council has involved a peer review of the traffic impact statement, and we've also had some engineering input as well from a recognised engineer as well to assist us with their further information request. So once it's been satisfied for received our satisfaction, we'll then go and notify the application. So it's probably available for comments.
Okay.
So there's some time waiting.
Okay, thank you. And just a personal one from me. I noticed in the NRM report there'll be some changes to the conditions for walking dogs on the lake foreshore, and being a dog walker on the lake foreshore, can you give me a heads up about what's going to happen, since we now don't even have the idea of a dog park, not to mention a dog park? So do I just have to walk my dog around my block?
No. Actually, in this case, and I'm going to stretch my memory here, parks have actually stepped out of the normal and actually given approval for people to walk their dogs within the reserve. So that's
on
lead. When they're on between the park, the pathway, and the lake. On the opposite side, they don't need to be, apparently. Just correct me. I think that's where we ended up.
They've got to be, if they're walking on lead, the dog has to walk on the right. It's not allowed to walk on the lake side. On the right.
My dog doesn't walk on the right.
It's not allowed to walk on the left side.
I think you walk on the pathway, you just can't go off lead. Between the path and the lake.
Yeah, it was specified, it wasn't allowed to be left, it had to be right.
That's a really serious change to behaviour.
I'd just like to know who's going to police that.
Yes.
I was about to say it will be strongly policed.
Can I talk to you?
No.
Okay.
So that was a good outcome from a council perspective, because initially parks... reserves are no-go areas. So.
So when will the community know about this?
So that's only come through in the last week or so. Yeah. So we're thinking about what communication strategy we have to put in place. It may well be just minimal signage to indicate that we don't even know what the sign might say.
I can help with that.
And this is your
next Lake Dalton meeting is the 13th of October.
13th of October.
Yeah. Sure, it will come
so
up
that,
then.
So that's sort of been in the mix for the last 12, 18 months now. So it is a good outcome, but policing of it's another issue.
Very well, thank you. That's
it.
That concludes it.
Thank you.
We're indebted to your continued participation and producing a high quality paper for us to all read. Great. Should we have a break or should we press on? Press on? We press on?
Keep going.
OK, so officers' reports, we're into that now, and we have the Manager Infrastructure and Works report.
Our Manager of Infrastructure and Works is in Victoria at the moment, for this week. So I'll just take any questions on board or try and respond if I know, or Mandy has got a finger on the pulse.
I did have an older guy who asked me about grading the track between Parada and Oaklands.
Walking track?
Yeah, well, he actually has one of those little, he's a disability man, and he has one of those little e-scooter things.
Oh.
And he drives it. I think Dave had a look. I've never actually even seen them. I've certainly never walked it. Yeah, he said it was in pretty good condition too, so I don't know whether or not I should take that any further.
We'll know it, nevertheless.
That was all. And, yeah. Are there any questions that members wanted to ask? I just wondered, does obviously the Milton Mowbray Park development there, is that going to be treed and trees planted? I guess we're getting into the time when we should get our trees in. Is that?
Yeah, I'll jump on that one. Yes, it is. Yep, so the irrigation's gone in.
It's looking beautiful.
It looks beautiful.
It does, yeah. It
looks fantastic.
Yes.
It's great.
When might the trough be
going back? Good question. I'll follow that today.
Beautiful. Troughy trees. So we're interested in. We know it's going to be low maintenance, which is, yeah, obviously important.
It's looking really nice.
Yeah, it is.
Any other about the hotel?
Yes.
I did have a question. Just in regards of the new rubbish collection, did we have many foreign rubbish bins get left behind, and have we gone out and told people that Bunnings rubbish bins not allowed to be used, etc.?
They've now done two runs, I think. So they're still collecting. They'll do a non-compliance report. The answer to the question is no. But until such time as we make contact with the non-compliant owners, Veolia will continue to collect. I think that's where we're at, and I think there might be one more collection just to. But it's working really, really well for a significant transfer of service. We've had no issues, really.
That's good.
Any other questions from other councillors?
Yeah.
Yes, Councillor Campbell.
We're going back to that Parada track one. Where you got the track finishing nearby Parada, from the end of that track to the railway line, is questionable. It hasn't really been completed in such a way that you could ride bikes through there, or mobile scooters, or whatever. It needs a little bit more work to bring it up to standard, and then you can go from one end to the other right the way it opens.
Thanks, Kent.
And yeah, the other question I've got is, how are we going replacing the guideposts? I know there's still quite a lot of hanging around on the side of the road.
I'll have to take that one on notice. Just an ongoing program, and sometimes it gets worse early in the week where people have had rough weekends out there.
I suggest that the end of the walking track be brought up at on the 13th at the recreation at the Lake Golden Cutting Park meetings.
Keep that in mind, Councillor Fish. Thank you. Yes, Councillor Fish.
I'll put the motion that the information infrastructure and work report be received and information noted.
Thanks, Councillor Fish. Second, Councillor Campbell. Answer the discussion. Yes, Councillor Fish.
One question. Tim, on those bins, I noticed this morning outside of Mr. Hill's place there's two bins. No one's living there, are they?
No, I reckon Chris may have put them out.
Right.
As part of the final tidy up. They probably need to be brought in.
Yeah.
Or collected. I'll get them collected because they won't be needed.
Mm. Right. I didn't think anyone was there. I know Les is up back, but I didn't think anyone else was.
Mm. No, Chris Carter just been tidying the property up, so even past the sale date, he was still giving her a bit of a.
Thank you.
Not that you can do a lot with it.
Machinery is to wash it.
No.
All right, I've got a mover and a second. Thanks, Councillor Fish and Councillor Campbell. I'll put the motion, that information be received and noted. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you, Councillor. The Heritage Project Program has been produced by a Heritage Project Officer, Brad Williams, who's with us. And do I have a mover in relation to that? Thanks, Deputy. And a second to Councillor Campbell. Any questions in relation to that? No? Very good. Well, I'll just put that. Yes, Councillor.
One question. How much longer with the Roach Hall renovations?
Depends how long your money lasts.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
I'd like to say this financial year, but you're not going to be ignoring any insurance.
All right.
Just flag relative to the Heritage Program, an item at our next workshop.
Yes.
The General is going to emphasise that it will be at Kempton as opposed to Oakland because of the TAS audit will be here on site. It's about a book proposal. So Alan will be attending the workshop.
Right.
He'll be run down a bit of a book proposal.
Very good.
Very good.
I have a mover and a second. I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The ayes have it. Now, the Manager Heritage Project has a further matter on the agenda in relation to a artwork. Councillors have read it. And we have two options in the recommendation. So I guess it's up for councillors to have a discussion about it. Could you give us some background in that, please, Brad?
So I guess I've given all the background that I could possibly give you in the report. I am aware there's been considerable lobbying in the background and some further background. I'm happy to answer any questions, but I think yes, the report's fairly self-explanatory.
What might concern councillors is that if we decide to give the painting to former Councillor John Jones, we might be complicit in him breaching the requirements of Section 56B of the Local Government Act in not providing a record of a gift.
Yeah.
So councillors should be aware of that. I haven't taken any legal advice about it, but apparently it is the requirement on receiving something like that that you are to notify, put it on a gift register. We're all familiar with the gift register. And a search of the gift register does reveal that former councillor Judge didn't put it on that register. If we say that he should have, or if we're giving it back to him, I guess we're automatically saying that he should have. So it's a bit of a quandary there. Have you thought about that any further?
Only what's in the report, I guess. So yeah, if council has taken the view that the evidence that I've provided isn't sufficient to prove council ownership. If it's resolved to hand the money back to Mr. Jones, then yeah, clearly there's not been a declaration on any register that he received in the course of conducting council business, so that could potentially put him in a difficult position.
Mm. Anyway, your councillors have read it. Are there any questions that people would want to ask of
funding? I'd only make a statement. If you don't do the paperwork, you can't make a claim. And I know that applies to all your museums across Tasmania.
Any other questions? It seems the councillors have generally formed a view about it, have you?
Okay.
All right. Well, if that's the case, there's two options there. Option A, council resolves to hand the painting to Mr. John Jones. Is there a mover in relation to that as a separate item? No seconder, no mover. Well, that being the case, I'll try the second one, which is B. Council asserts, I guess it's its ownership of the painting, and it remained on display in Oakland Supreme Court as intended by the artist.
Move, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I think that's where it should stop, shouldn't it? We shouldn't have the unless. I assume. Would you be happy with that, Councillor Bittick? Just removing the unless, Mr. Jones, and provide evidence.
Sorry, removing.
Unless.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, at the moment, I'm moving it because he hasn't provided any evidence. Okay. That's correct, is it not? To the state.
Not that word.
No. Nothing's been provided except for his assertion to.
No, his personal assertion.
Well, I don't know. Look, I'm more than happy to put it either way. Obviously, if Mr. Jones can provide evidence of his ownership beyond what's already provided, we ought to be looking at it again. But at this stage, it seems that council asserts its ownership in the painting and it remained on display in the Oakland courthouse as intended by the artist. We should actually maybe just describe it a bit better than that in the what is it? It's described as policeman, is it? What's it? How is it described?
Municipal police sergeant.
What's he called? Municipal police sergeant.
Yep.
Asserts his ownership of the painting. Municipal police sergeant. And it remained on display in the Oakland Supreme Court as intended by the artist. We should put his name, I guess. Russ Owens. You intend to move it in those terms, Councillor Bisden? Yes?
Yep.
Do I have a seconder? Deputy. Put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Ayes have it. The manager heritage projects, Brad Williams, has also another in relation to the endorsement of a metal detection policy, which we've seen from the August meeting. No corrections or amendments have been requested thus far, so the recommendation is that Council endorse the policy. Do I have a mover?
Yes.
So, thank you, Councillor Bisden and Councillor Campbell, seconding. I don't need to have any further discussion. It's been about for sufficient time. Put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. The NRM unit. What? Thank you very much.
I can second.
Deputy and seconder, Councillor Fish.
I've got some comments on
that. Yes, Councillor Campbell.
when we got mention of the weed, I'd have to go to the other classes, gallium, a lot of people probably don't understand what gallium is. In common Aussie lingo, sticky weed. And
because it's sticky.
Right.
And it sticks to your clothes or sticks to birds or whatever. And there are 51 species in the family that we have in Tasmania, and it's over 600 in the genus. And it would be good if our weed officer could give brief information on how to get rid of some of these weeds, as in sticky weed, because a lot of people would like to get rid of it. So, I'm just asking if our weed officer could give us a bit of a brief rundown on how to deal with some of these weeds that are coming up in here with the ports.
Okay.
I'm assuming that the report that she prepares for the Southern Midlands article might contain that information, hopefully. We'll be full bottle on it.
Alright.
I know with quite a lot of the herbicides don't clean it out.
So?
A lot of the herbicides don't clean it out.
Best way I found is to burn it.
Correct. And if you get a heat lamp and you go over the top with a heat lamp, gas heat lamp, that's the best way to get rid of it. Get rid of a lot of weeds.
Alright. Well, thanks for that gardening corner advice.
You just have morning tea, I reckon.
All right.
Can I have morning tea, please?
I'm going to get rid of this first, and we've got a mover and a second in relation to the NRM report. Any further discussion? No? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
8 against, the ayes have it. Thanks very much, councillors. Let's have a cup of tea, and we get to the animal management report thereafter.
That was moved. Deputy Mayor, seconded.
Seconded, I think, was councillor Bisbee.
I'll move that we
reconvene.
Thank you.
And Councillor Fisher's indicated that he seconded that motion. Put the motion, those in favour. Vote against. Agree. Thank you, councillors. And we're up to item 15.6 on page 36. Anyone following on the hard copy? The animal management report. And the recommendation is that we receive that and information be noted. Thank you very much, Councillor Campbell. Seconded.
I'll second.
Councillor, I do have a comment. It's a question.
Yes.
What are chooks classified as when they're on the road?
Sorry?
What are chooks classified as on the road?
In a dangerous situation.
Right in the chicken across the road.
Yes.
Into a chicken.
Well,
every time you go through Rendaston, it's just covered with chooks running around everywhere.
Well,
in Mangalore's not much better.
No, they're very brave chooks mostly.
Mr. Mayor.
And did they get a. Sorry. Does the animal management report encompass the horses issue, or is that beyond her area there? How are you dealing with that?
It would be part of animal control. This animal control would be as a response to escapees and animals at large.
Okay.
But certainly, this is probably in line with animal control and EHO. I've just advised council that we have our EHO attending the Parada site this morning, in fact. So Simon Street will be on site this morning, former health officer at Parada, and following that we'll probably be issuing some orders to the landowner occupier in respect of those animals.
To you, Grant, you might, if anything happens, you might just think it's all that you want to let people inform with what's happening?
That's highly appropriate because I've had the same question asked from Julia as well. And certainly, it's
pre-informed
because this is ongoing and emerging. So, yeah, happy to do so.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Councillor.
I would like to compliment Rachel on what way this report. Everything you want to know is there.
Well, that's great.
Yep.
You have the jokes.
If you could relay that General Manager to
definitely.
The Animal Management Officer, but we're very pleased with the way she's doing the reports. A little bouquet there from Councillor Fish. All right, well, we have a mover and a second. Those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it. That report's received. We cross over now to the Deputy General Manager's issue here in relation to the small grants program. And that's pretty much all for information for everybody. The decisions were there, and the recommendation is that we make the grants to those organisations as listed on page 51. Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Second, the Deputy. Any discussion? Any motion? Those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it.
That was
easy. The Oakland Aquatic Centre, a report there. Should that information be received and noted?
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell's in there first.
Unfortunately,
any questions? Yes.
The income's up full, but the expenses are up 20.
Are we there yet? Yes, here we go.
Year to date.
Yep, year to date. Any issues there, Adam? Did you want to?
I can speak on behalf of that, Mr. Mayor. So, as you can probably see, the salaries are above the monthly budget for this month or August. Part of that reason is with the school programs, we've had to bring in more casual instructors to fill the demand of ratio numbers for the classes. A pleasing thing is that the school numbers are increasing year on year as well, which from previous years we have to bring in an extra instructor. For example, for Baghdad last week, we were able to get away with 4 instructors. Last week we had to have 5 instructors to just maintain the ratio numbers from the year before. So the school's numbers are increasing, and with that, so does their demand on instructors. So that is partly why that is higher than the allocated budget in the salary. In regards to the operation costs, we decided to go ahead, I don't remember from the previous council meeting here in Oatlands, we were discussing a bulk buy of chlorine. To sort of counteract the raising increase in chlorine prices, especially with those buckets coming out of America. We were unsure what they would do. They're not going to go down, they're only going to go up. So we did bite the bullet with that. That's part of it, it's not all of it. You'll see a triple of that increase because it was quite a substantial amount of money that had to be forked out to start with. But we believe that we have enough chlorine now that we'll see it through the end of the year and part of next year, so we won't be having those ongoing costs in the coming month. The other thing with the operation costs is we have been trialling the heating system working overnight and not sort of turning itself down a little bit to try and create a better heating, overall heating of the pool, so rather than it being cold for half a day or a day when we got hit with cold weather. If it's heating the same temperature all the time, then we're not getting those dips and flows. So there's always a little trade-off there with a little bit more on the power side, but we're sort of counteracting that where we're saving about $2,500 every 28 days in LP gas. because we're not running the backup boiler system at all at this moment. The only time it's running is if we do a backwash and we need to put some more fresh water in. We're using the boiler just to bring the tent back up a little bit quicker. But we've basically cut what was almost $2,800 every 28 days for LP gas to about a couple of $100. So we're looking at different ways of making, not cuts, but just trying to counteract our operation costs. The other thing that we'll be moving into is a new service agreement as well with a different provider for the plant room operations, which will also save, they're a more local business, so not as much travel cost, and we can get supplies through them a lot easier. If they're coming up for servicing, they can bring certain chemicals and stuff like that we may need, rather than paying freight costs to have it sent straight to us and things like that. So we've been overviewing all the operations point, but yeah, there definitely has been, as you can see, a small increase for the start of this year, but we envision that we'll sort of equalise as it goes. But the main one with the salaries is that we've just had more schools, more numbers, which then requires more supervision, which is outside the sort of hours that we allocate every year for lifeguards per day and stuff like that. So the other thing to keep in mind is that Georgia is also back from maternity leave as well. So there's always, we didn't have that over the last 6 months too. So even though we're having casuals in, having Georgia back as well, we still need those casuals at times, but then you've got Georgia back as well on top of it. So, and then in regards to the income, I don't believe, like, that's obviously what council has received. There is still a fair bit of money outstanding for September and whether those education departments and things like that have fixed up their invoices yet. So I'd imagine that those numbers will increase from what they are now, or at least be holding it, which will mean by the end of the financial year will be a lot more ahead, hopefully. So yeah, if anyone's got any other questions with that, I'm more than happy to answer.
Quick question from me, would you mind adding? I noticed there's a training on the 1st and 2nd of November for lifeguards.
Yep, so...
As far as uptake locally, is there a chance you can involve the school and increase your pool of...
So I've actually just had an email from them today. They've had 15 participants already sign up for that course on the 1st and 2nd of November.
Yep.
So we just facilitate it at the centre. We don't necessarily take the bookings or run the course. That's done through the Jobs Hub at Quantville, but we work with them to make sure we get as many people in that course as possible. So they've already had 15 and they've just asked me if we have the capacity to go up to 20, which we do. It's just whether Royal Life can take that through the training organisation. If they're happy to have 20, then there'll be 20 people in the upcoming course.
That's
so
awesome.
Again, that's been promoted by us and in the community. So yeah, at this stage the course is actually full and they're hoping to get another 5 participants into that course. Yeah, so that's definitely that's been very helpful. Yeah, I think at the current staff I've got about 4 that have come through those courses in the last 12 months. So yeah, definitely having a flow on effect.
Great. Can I just make a couple of comments? Congratulations, Adam, on all these schools that are going through our centre. That's just amazing. Being in the op shop as much as I have been lately, I've spoken to a few mums from Baghdad who I know personally, and they were just rapt with how their kids were going with swimming lessons. Yesterday, I had the Geneva College from La Trobe come through and talking to the teacher, and they'd been to see you 3 times in their 3 weeks holiday at Interlaken. So this group come to Interlaken for 3 weeks to do lots of bush type things, and they don't go to Hobart or anything, they come to Oatlands, and that's as far as they probably go. And they were just, once again, wrapped with the pool, and their kids just love getting out for their...
Been also, just on that school, they've been visiting shearing sheds in the local area too, learning about
shearing.
The shearing and the farming and stuff like that. They've been talking with Georgia when she's been lifeguarding those bookings and communicating. So it's not just us that they're visiting, they're visiting lots of different areas within our community. Mm-hmm. So, it's a big task. I don't know if I'd do 3 weeks.
No, we're talking to the... talking to the two...
It's quite a large ask, but the teachers... there was two nights to go yesterday when I was talking to them.
Yeah, no, as I said, talking to the two teachers yesterday, they were both very tired and ready to hand back over, but the children were so well behaved and had such wonderful manners. But anyhow, congratulations again, and having 165 kids coming through after school that learned to swim, I don't know how you do it.
That's probably the other thing is that we lost one of our instructors, halfway through this term, and part of that is we obviously employed a new instructor. That instructor was offered 2 weeks of shadow shifting with the other instructor, so there was a smooth transition between teachers halfway through a term. So that will also show up in that wage point of view. But enrollment's open for term 4 on Monday this week, and on last count last night, we'd already had 88 enrollments in 2 days for next term, and we've been having them today. Private lessons in October, second week of school holidays with me, are already booked out. We have demand for another instructor, so we've just put another instructor on for a week to cover that demand in the private. So the Learn to Swim is growing, and it's growing quicker than what we can actually cater for at the moment. We're doing our best to fit everyone in, but it's definitely taken a leap in the last sort of 6 months. The other thing I'll mention, it hasn't been fully finalised yet, but I am putting in my report, is that Annabelle Butler has been running gym programs in conjunction with Bonnie Headland. That funding runs out this week, so myself, Tim and Dave have been working very closely with bringing Bonnie on to continue that community service with those classes and things like that. So we're pretty much at the last hurdle of that will recommence in term 4, 3 days a week, 4 different classes. So that's in pretty much the final stage of being promoted as of now.
There's a lot of mums and grandmas out there that are very, very happy about that.
Yeah, so it's on a trial basis, I suppose. We'll see how it runs in term 4, and then from there we'll make a decision whether it's something that we can continue in 26. But that's sort of filling a gap that a funding grant is going to run out with. So,
good.
Well, Adam, I'm glad to see a high number of people learning to swim.
Yep.
It's a steward for life, and you should be congratulated on it.
Thank you. Thanks, appreciate it.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Adam. The recommendation is that that information be received and noted. I've got a mover and a seconder. Is there any other discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? It's received and noted. Thank you very much. The Oaklands Rec Ground installation of the electric scoreboard. That's been examined, and there's a recommendation that we receive that report, and that we confirm our willingness to fund the project subject to final costings and undertake a detailed costing and specification work. Proceed with an application for the development.
Happy to second it.
And investigate the external funding opportunities, which will be good. All right, well, we've got a mover there from Councillor Bisbee and seconded by the deputy. I noticed there was some concern about the positioning of the current school board. Where would you put the new one if there was
one? I think that's part of the comment around planning approval. So the positioning at the moment, if you're stopping at the top end of the ground. So there's some talk about going on the north eastern end of the ground. So as you come around the bottom set of the goals and you park on that bank, there's an area along that boundary there.
New Jeremy's?
No, further down towards down. There, further to the east, but along that bank there that wouldn't impact on car parking. That's all going to be totally visible from the entire ground. So that's probably the football club's preferred location.
Is it?
We did provision the existing location for electronic sport, the underground power, underground sports lighting that were there. So that means that it just need to be extended.
Yeah, so there's a light pole very close proximity, so you can just go straight up the light pole. No. I suppose to some extent based on some of the feedback from the Green Fine. And fine, excuse me. So, I just think it's for the reasons that I've put in the report that something we should progress.
Yeah, well, it's our premier ground, isn't it? Right? We've got to look after it. I suppose it should be our premier ground. Mm. Campaign has probably taken that lead at the moment. Well, I guess it's a research issue, isn't it? So basically, we've got a mover and a second. Is there any other discussion there? No? Okay, well, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Mm-hmm.
As against, the ayes have it. We'll miss you. Okay, so we move on now to the discussion paper here in relation to numbers at the council. I was able to attend the Mayor's workshop at Devonport on the 17th of September. Where this was a matter of consternation for many councils. I was happy to be able to report that the Southern Midlands Council, being the contemporary, flexible, modern council that it is, had taken steps to fix this problem years ago.
That's right.
And we are the only council of the 29 councils that's not going to lose a councillor under the new arrangement. Which is good news in some respects, but bad news in other respects, because it's going to cost the council because of the increased allowances that other councils are going to fund from the reduced numbers. I did ask the Director of Local Government whether or not they consider giving the Southern Midlands Council an ex gratia payment to assist with pay, and they laughed. I think so, but I tried.
Move the recommendation.
Yes, thank you very much.
And I'd like to speak to it if there's a seconder.
A seconder?
Second.
Seconder of the Deputy. Very good. Yes, Councillor Bisty, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm very pleased to see that the new minister has taken a keen interest in this issue, and I commend the outcomes of the guidance that's provided in the discussion paper. I think, speaking from experience, I know we're seven in number. We used to be nine, but I believe that the Southern Midlands Council is an example of one of the more professional councils in the state, and especially from a councillor point of view, our collegial discussions that happen around this table, and I think this number seven. The number of councillors being seven has been quite a positive move. I'd like to quickly add that I would not support reducing it to five. I think that is too low, especially when perhaps a quorum might be hard to attain. As far as the cost goes to council is considerable, at $41,000. However, I remind councillors that there has not been a review of the council allowances other than the normal indexation for inflation. I think it's twice a year, Tim. Once or twice?
Annually.
Annual, sorry, I thought it was twice.
There's been two this year, but generally it's annually.
Yeah, and other than that, there's been no review, and I think from memory, it is about 8 years ago, might even be longer than the last review of councillor allowances was undertaken. And I think in that time, we've seen the costs of everything, especially in salaries, rise quite substantially, and I think this is a bit of a catch-up from 8 years ago. And I'm not sure about the four-year review. I would have thought perhaps a two-year review, a desktop review, not an intense review of remuneration and council numbers, but I'm happy to go along with the recommendation anyway. But I just add those comments, Mr. Mayor, that I think it's about time that it's well overdue to have a review of council numbers and their allowances. But I'm pleased to see that we stay at 7 and don't drop to 5, because I would be speaking against that.
Yeah, well, I think our position is pretty firm generally around the table, but I notice that this recommendation that we are voting on now includes a provision that it will be a regular review in the future, yeah, which obviously is needed on the budget. Councillor Fish, you had some issues about this. You foreshadowed at a previous meeting. Did you want to say anything particularly?
I'm a great believer in the nine councillors.
Yes.
Yeah.
But look, I've got to accept it's not going to happen.
Yeah. You're a practical man.
Coming back to what's in front of us, I don't believe they should be superannuation. I have no superannuation. There's going to be a lot of paperwork for a little amount of money. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Part B says that we don't support compulsory system, which is good. So
you make your own arrangements.
You make your own arrangements. I'd just like to quickly add that it's been very disappointing that some of the city mayors, Lanorke and Clarence, have chosen this discussion paper to start up yet again the question of amalgamations. Mm-hmm. And the mayor of Lanorke and Clarence, unfortunately, They're both very political, and they've chosen this issue to support that. If they want to amalgamate, the cities want to amalgamate, fine. It doesn't worry the rural and regional councils. But it's just a pity that they've hijacked, if you like, this issue to get on to council amalgamations. And I'll be, when I see both of them again, I'll voice my displeasure at the way they've approached this.
But then, sadly, Captain Devenport.
But there'll be war off.
Mayor Devenport's the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, Madam Devenport, sorry.
I was just going to say, in regards to the superannuation, at some of the LGACS things that we have attended, it's the larger councils and Devonport is one, they have pushed and pushed and pushed for the superannuation thing. Mm. They are the ones that are pushing for the superannuation, the larger councils.
Mm. Sorry. Yeah, I might add, maybe the deputy and the mayor, superannuation is more appropriate there because there's more money involved.
Yeah, but we're too old. I'm too old, I think.
There is a cut-off.
Statistics say I haven't got long to go, I'm afraid,
Coming back to superannuation, part of what's driving it is those that are on Centrelink, if they go to X amount, then they get a whole lot of questions and a whole lot of harassment from Centrelink. If they put that money in superannuation, all those questions disappear.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So
I can just comment because by retaining the current system, so the important thing is that councillors are not employees and therefore the SGC doesn't apply. So what they've proposed here is to incorporate the equivalent, 12%, into the allowance. So any councillor now, depending on their individual circumstances, can say, put 20% of my allowance into this approved or nominated superannuation fund, and we just distribute the other 80% on a fortnightly basis. The recommendation is based on maintaining that current discretionary opt-in, opt-out, depending on whatever your circumstances may be.
That's right.
Well, I think some of the push from the cities, they want the increased allowance plus the 12% over and above on top of the allowance. But that, again, steps out of that employee.
But Centrelink were trying to turn council allowance into earnings and salary, etc. But I've had a long time fighting and squabble over that lot, but moved away from that now, thankfully.
All right, well, I've got a mover in Councillor Visley and a second in the deputy. It's a fairly big recommendation. Sure,
there's
any further discussion about it?
You could opt to transition, you know, if you wanted to offset the increase. You could include it that you transition over a 10-year period. Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
No, look, I appreciate that. I'll work 14% harder. those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you. Elected members' statements. The statement, please.
Yep, I have. I've prepared a few things. Just a rundown, I think everyone would be aware that October is Pink Up Oatlands Month. Being run by Denise Smith again. Lots of things organised, so it should be a great time again. All the businesses hopefully are going to be doing some window displays with pink things, and we've got pink scarecrows happening. And so the money raised is for the McGrath Foundation. Now, it used to be just to help provide nurses for breast cancer, but now McGrath have changed their way and it's raising funds for all cancers.
That's great.
Which is fantastic.
It is.
Yep. I'd just like to congratulate another Oatlands girl, Olivia Baker. Olivia's 16 years of age and she won the 2025 National Merino Fleece Young Judges Championship recently at the Royal Adelaide Show in early September, and Olivia was the youngest entrant in that competition. So, and she's doing a wool casting course at the moment and working in shearing sheds, so she's got a great future in her because there's always a need for a wool caster. At the weekend, I had an email from a friend sharing some information which was put out by World Atlas, naming Oatlands as one of the 11 most beautiful small towns in Australia to retire to.
Wow.
And that was along with bigger towns like Busselton in Western Australia, Victor Harbour in South Australia, and Port Douglas in Queensland. So let's watch out. And I just wanted to mention the passing of Jean Hepburn. Jean and her husband Peter were the chemists here in the pharmacy for 30 years. And she passed away a couple of weeks ago. She was a lovely lady. Her and Peter, well, they were a lovely couple. So I just wanted to mention that. So that's me. Done.
All thank you. That concludes the elected member statement section of the meeting, I see. Yep, okay, very good. Finance Officer Mandy Burbley has provided the monthly financial statement for the period ending on the 31st of August. Do we have a mover that be received, if that's noted?
I'm moved.
Thank you, Councillor Blackwell. Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Questions? Issues?
$15.5 million in the bank, that's the main thing.
Very well. Yes, that's a nice number. We've got a few things we'd like to buy, but we've got a little
bit. That's why Dave's
opening
up.
We can't spend their money on what he's spending.
Tim.
Those in favour of receiving that information? And yes, thank you. Those against, the ayes have it. Thank you very much. All right. That's all right.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there? Are you on holiday or are you working?
Probably don't go there.
We now have the this is a request for funding support by About Wine, South Tasmania. We have a few wineries in our district and they want to buy some flag signs. Is that what they are, flag signs? The information's all in there. I don't know whether you want to speak to that, is it, AB?
Council would recall that we did initially start a community small grants program which would reduce the number of bids for funds that we would get throughout the year. I was contacted by Alex from this organisation, Wine Southern Tasmania, and said, look, given your not-for-profit but you're supporting the wine industry, you could be eligible for the Community Small Grants Program. I said, but unfortunately it's closed. You've got a session in November and March, so you can't wait till next year. So what I thought as a compromise, Mr. Mayor, I think it's a good suggestion. It gets our branding out, but certainly the Coal River, Baghdad, so it's around the southern part of our patch. And in their letter, they do ask for either custom feather flags, which we've got an image of one there in the report, or a whole package, which is the weight, the whip on the top, and the flag. So I had a discussion with Wendy. We've got 10 of those stands that we use for the Heritage and Bullet Festival. We do loan them to other organisations. I just thought we could loan them the 10 stands and for this year we could cover the costs of 10 feather flags as individuals, so they could have the whole package, but it costs us $614 this year. They come pick up the stands, they bring them back, and next year they can apply for funding under the Community Small Grants Program for the remainder of the stands. So it's a compromise. We're giving them one of the options that they've applied for. I think it's a very valid application. It's just their timing is a little bit out. Mm-hmm. So this is a compromise, so we don't reduce available funds that we'd like to have a report on at the next council with the balance of those funds out of the Community Small Grants Program could go to, and this is a way of meeting their needs. So the recommendation, if council are agreed with it, that we loan them our stands for 10 stands and we fund the purchase of the feather flags, which will have our logo on it as well.
Which is going to be $600.
Yeah.
With the small grants, we didn't quite reach the budget of the amount anyway, did we?
No.
So it could technically come out of there.
Well, we've got an idea for that, I think. That's really what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah. So the report comes to the next council meeting about that, but there would be enough that we could take out that smaller amount from it and not even finish it.
Okay, so the motion, I think we ought to debate or...
Well, I'm happy to move it.
Yeah, well, that'd be that council make available these feather signs stands to Wine South Tasmania and purchase flags to the value of $614.86.
Mm-hmm.
That's moved by the deputy.
And I'll second.
Seconded by Councillor Blackwell. Any further discussion? With the motion, those in favour?
Aye.
Again, the ayes have.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, councillors.
The municipal seal there is for three grand receipts. So first one is moved by the deputy, seconded Councillor Campbell. The third one. moved by the deputy and seconded by Councillor Bisting, and then the last one is moved by Councillor Campbell. I think they're all doing as a job, right? There's not much. Congratulations on all the grant writers for their work. So, the grant writer, I've got a suspicion, it's all Mr. Andrew Benson's hard work together with his team.
There's one other comment I got on the last one, on page 3, was have we seriously considered bus operators moving along the road?
Yep. And books.
Because I had one person go cook about obstacles getting around.
All right, well, I put those motions with those respective movers. Those in favour?
Aye.
And again, the ayes have it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, councillors.
We now go up to the in camera closed session meeting. Regulation 15 of the Government Meeting Procedures Regulations. The following items are dealt with in closed session. Closed council minutes confirmation, application for leave of absence, a contract program matter, road stabilisation, and contract program matter, the annual road spray seal. So do I have a move of the table in closed session? Thank you, Councillor Kuhn. Seconded Councillor Fish, those in favour. The ayes have it. And that we now move into closed session. Do I have a mover? And Councillor Campbell. Thanks, councillors. Deputy, those in favour?
Aye.
As again, I'll come into open council. At 12:06 or thereabouts.
Okay. Put the machine back on.
At 12:06 we'll close the council meeting. And thanks very much, councillors, and thanks very much for your attention. And